This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
All right, so there was a deadly great white attack off the coast of Maine, terrible, resulting in a woman's death. So now we got shark attacks adding to 2020. Bill Barr goes before the House of Representatives yesterday. It was a total joke. And Philadelphia schools won't be starting in the classroom this year, anytime soon, or ever. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli and Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. It's great to have you with us today, of course, every day. First of all, you know, the Bill Barr hearing, and I'll talk to Congressman Guy Rechenthaler about this later in the show. He was there. He saw it firsthand. He can tell you about the craziness and the nonsense. Just a couple quick observations about this. You know, everybody wants their YouTube moment in politics. It's something that they're all going for. Their chance, their 5 minutes of fame. That's what they want to become. That's what they're doing. You know, that's what they want out of this. And what is this really all about, though, with A.G. Barr? What's this really all about? Why are they dragging him here? So the Democrats are trying to push out this narrative that America is fascist. We're fascistic, and we are heading towards fascism. And what you see in Portland and other cities now is directly that. They also want to say that Bill Barr is corrupt and he does the bidding of the president, that he allows the Department of Justice to be the president's own little legal squad and that sort of thing. And this is what they do. They push this out there all the time. These are some of the ideas. Now, the Attorney General asked a good question when this back and forth was going on with regards to federal court. Like, when did this become okay? When did this become okay, like a thing that was, you know, acceptable in America? Cut 11.
Protecting federal property, and specifically U.S. courthouses, which are the heart of federal property in all 93 jurisdictions in the United States. And we have the obligation to protect federal courts, and the U.S. Marshals specifically have been given that obligation. Federal courts are under attack. Since when is it okay to try to burn down a federal court? If someone went down the street to the Prettyman Court here, that beautiful courthouse we have right at the bottom of the hill, and started breaking windows and firing industrial-grade fireworks in to start a fire, throw kerosene balloons in and start fires in the court, is that okay? Is that okay now? No, the U.S. Marshals have a duty to stop that and defend the courthouse, and that's what we are doing in Portland. We are at the courthouse defending the courthouse. We're not out looking for trouble.
Exactly right. I really, you know, and you can talk about various tactics that are used, but that's still not fascism. You know, that's still not a police state. A police state is when the government uses its police and law enforcement powers for political purposes. And unfortunately, that's exactly what we saw happen in 2016. Jim Jordan gave an opening yesterday, Congressman Jim Jordan. He was talking about what this is all about. Cut 3.
Mr. Jordan, for his opening statement.
Spying. That one word. That's why they're after you, Mr. Attorney General. 15 months ago, April 10th, 2019, in a Senate hearing, you said this sentence, quote, "I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal." Spying on a political campaign is a big deal. It sure is. And since that day, when you had the courage to state the truth, they attack you. They've been attacking you ever since, every day, every week, for simply stating the truth that the Obama-Biden administration spied on the Trump campaign. 1 year ago, New York Times headline said this. 1 year ago, quote, FBI sent investigator posing as assistant to meet with Trump aide in 2016. The FBI sent a young lady who used the name Azra Turk to meet Papadopoulos in September of 2016. They sent someone pretending to be someone else to meet a person associated with the Trump campaign. You know what they call that? You know what they call that? Spying. 1 month later, October 2016, they used the dossier to spy on Carter Page. The salacious, unverified dossier, Jim Comey's words, not mine. They took it to the FISA court, didn't tell the courts that the Clintons paid for it, didn't tell the court that the guy who wrote the document, Christopher Steele, had already communicated to the Justice Department that he was, quote, desperate to stop Trump from getting elected. And guess what? There were 15 more lies that they told the court. 17 in total. They're outlined by the Inspector General, each and every one of them in his 400-page report. But guess what? Chairman Nadler refuses to allow Mr. Horowitz to come here and testify and answer our questions about the 17 lies the Obama-Biden administration told to the secret court. The Obama-Biden DOJ opened the investigation in July. They used a secret agent lady to spy on Papadopoulos in August. They lied to the FISA court in September. And they did all this without any basis for launching the investigation to begin with. How do we know that?
I think what Jim Jordan's points here are all incredibly valid as he breaks this down. And I think it's important to remember something, right? We're dealing with a question of whether or not the previous administration utilized its law enforcement and intelligence powers for political purposes. If that happened, every American, regardless of if you're left, right, if you're a liberal, if you're a conservative, libertarian, if whatever you are, you should be terrified of that. Because if they can do it, Trump could do it. See, this is why I don't really understand why people are not more upset by this. Because if Obama's Justice Department and Obama's Homeland Security apparatus can do this, why couldn't Trump's? He could if he wanted to. It's all in place. The mechanism is there. It's there. We've created this Homeland Security Goliath under the guise of keep us safe, security theater. And now it's the Zeoli Axum. Whenever you give the government power and you give up your liberty in the name of keeping you safe, they will weaponize it and use it for political purposes. If that happened, don't you want to do something about it? Even if you're a flaming lefty, don't you want to do something to make sure that never happens again? I mean, could you imagine if Bill Barr's FBI was trying to do some of this stuff now? Go ahead, continue with the clip, Bill.
How do we know that? How do we know there was no basis? They told us. Now, they didn't want to tell us, but thanks to Rick Grenell, who released the transcripts of their testimony, we now know there was no basis for them to start the investigation in the first place.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's, you know, no doubt in my mind about that. We got to get to the bottom of that. So, all right, another couple of moments from the hearing yesterday. He was interrupted a lot. This is what I mean about these YouTube moments, these viral YouTube moments. People just want to get their little fame and move on. Every Democrat yesterday kept saying the same thing. I want to reclaim my time, reclaim my time, reclaim my time. Here's a little montage from Real Clear Politics of Democrats reclaiming their time, cut 10.
Reclaiming my time. In April,
times is when does something actually become custom?
Reclaiming my time. This is not a trick question.
In this country.
I'm reclaiming my time, Mr. General.
Without any remedy at all.
I'm reclaiming my time. Let me share with
you. So you got to let him answer.
Reclaiming my time.
You directed.
Reclaiming my time, sir. Reclaiming my time.
He found
reclaiming my time without political bias.
He said he
and
found
in April,
evidence.
Reclaiming my time, Mr. General. In
That's
reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time,
from.
Mr. Barr.
Occurring substances.
Attorney General, reclaiming my time. There are rules by which we operate here. I would ask you to respect them.
But
There's
the
no
64
question for you
Act
yet.
Did
Excuse
not
me.
Extend to...
Reclaiming my time, sir. In both documents...
Mr. Attorney General, reclaiming my time.
I was talking
reclaiming
about.
My time.
I
you
think
stated?
That's what it's...
Okay, reclaiming my time. And again, I'm happy...
Shame on you, Mr. Barr.
Can I just say... Mr.
Shame on you.
Can I just
my
say...
My time has expired.
So they would ask him questions. He would try to answer. And they would reclaim their time to get him to shut up because they didn't really want to hear his answers. It wasn't about hearing his answers. It wasn't a hearing. It was a show. It was a theatrical show. And it was shameful because the people deserve better. And quite frankly, you know, the legislative branch plays an important role in oversight of the executive. That's not what yesterday was. Yesterday was a moment for all these egotistical maniacs to get their 5 minutes of fame so they can use it to raise money and then run for governor or senator or president or whatever they want to do, because none of them believe that they should have to be in the House of Representatives. It's not worthy of them. It's beneath them. They want to move up. That's what yesterday was about. And that, I'm telling you, every time they'd ask him a question, he'd jump in, start to talk. They'd shut him right up. He was not given an opportunity to talk at all. In fact, at one point he said, you know, hey, look, why am I here? I thought this was a hearing. Cut 9.
Alabama claims you cannot count illegal aliens in the census under the Constitution. The department looked at it and advised that Congress can determine the meaning of inhabitant for this purpose, that it is not a self-defining term as they
only got 2 minutes, sir.
That they recognized.
Mr. Barr, if I
may. But this is a hearing. I thought I was the one that was supposed to be heard.
Well, let me, and I'm going to get there. The current dispute, you talked back when the Supreme Court struck down the president's attempt to.
Is that the cut, Bill?
Yes.
Okay.
That's how it ended.
Oh, okay. All right. So, you know, there you
go. Excuse me, I want to reclaim my time.
Yeah, reclaim my time, right? The whole thing was just such a farce. It really was. It was an absolute show and a farce. And, you know, it's really not the kind of thing that Americans should expect from their government. They should do better than that. They really should. After it was over, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, weighed in on this. And she had horrible things to say about Bill Barr, as you would imagine, from the Speaker of the House. Remember, she's second in line to the presidency of the United States of America. She is supposed to be a leader. And I thought we were trying to move towards a place of civility and decency and all this other stuff, right? Take a listen.
I said they acted like stormtroopers, and they did. And my colleagues have said that as well. What is it? I'm an organizer. That's how I came into all of this. Chair of the California Democratic Party. And peaceful protest is who we are and what we do. And do some other people come along and try to disrupt? Yes. But you don't send in people acting like stormtroopers into the scene and evoking even more unease and unrest. He should be answering for what he did at Lafayette Square, a disgrace. So this is—it's really—he was like a blob. He was like a henchman for the president of the United States, instead of the Attorney General of the United States of America.
A blob, a henchman of the United States, a henchman, a blob. You know, you remember the movie Dracula vs. the Blob from the 1950s? Do you remember that? So a blob is the biggest insult she could give somebody. I beat the blob, by the way. It was a wonderful moment. I also kicked the Wolfman's ass and the mummy, too. But beat all of them. Abbott and Costello took them down. They tried to go after me. And your little henchman, too. Your little henchman there, Frankenstein. It's the Speaker of the House of Representatives talking about the Attorney General of the United States of America. But this is the problem of the times in which we live right now, which is that we have very unserious people who are in government, and these unserious people are trying to grandstand and become famous. And they all think they could be like Trump, you know, with zingers and one-liners and put-downs, and they all say they hate that he does that, but then they all try to be him. They're just not as good at it. So what you wind up getting is you get like a low-grade B version of Trumpism a little bit. And it's pathetic because they're not good at it. I mean, he's at least good at the zingers and the put downs and the insults, and they're not. And so you wind up watching this amateur display of people who are trying to get their limelight. And it's really annoying because at least they're not good at it. And that's a real problem right there. So nothing came out of this that's going to make a real difference to anybody. And if you're somebody who watched at home yesterday and you were waiting for the Attorney General of the United States to confess something, there's nothing to confess. That's why the Democrats didn't want him to actually answer any questions. He was just there so that they could grandstand and use clips in their little commercials and raise money off it. That's all that was. That's the whole day in a nutshell yesterday.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
You don't remember that movie, Dracula vs. the Blob? You missed that?
I missed it. I missed it. I wanted to ask you, though, is Pelosi, because I know she has grandkids, is she making a Nazi reference or a Star Wars reference when she says stormtroopers?
Well, I would bet she's making a Nazi reference because that seems to be what the Democrats are doing these days. Why, you think it's Stormtrooper? You think she's making a Star Wars reference?
I don't know. After the ice cream thing, then I thought, would she really call federal law enforcement Nazis? Because that's right. Wouldn't that anger if you were in law enforcement, especially since three of those agents were reportedly blinded by lasers?
She was asked the question on MSNBC. She said, they asked her, are you referring to them as stormtroopers? She said, I'm not calling them stormtroopers. I'm referring to them as stormtroopers. true story.
It's crazy.
So, you know.
I guess the hopeful part of me thought, maybe she just, you know, forget, she's talking about Star Wars or something.
So you think that she's equating Trump to Darth Vader and that the federal law enforcement officers are stormtroopers, and to you that's a better compliment, like that's a better analogy. The people that took part in blowing up an entire planet, well, in your mind that's a softer touch.
Well, I think
I mean they blew up a Death Star, but other than that they were fine people, the stormtroopers.
Well, in her world, you never know.
Now, what was the planet they blew up? It was
Alderaan.
Alderaan, yeah. I mean, sure, they blew up Alderaan and all those souls. Otherwise, good people, stormtroopers. I mean, we're talking about like intergalactic genocide there, Dawn. You think that that's a better analogy?
I think anything's better than being referred to it being a Nazi when you're out there as an officer, like risking your life, getting shot at and every other thing.
I mean, sure, they helped Darth Vader and Emperor Palpatine murder billions, but overall, decent guys, coaches and fathers and stormtroopers, they would have sidewalk sales, lemonade stands.
50 cents a cup.
Yeah, but you're right. I'm sure a lot of federal law enforcement would go home at night and go, well, she did equate me to a stormtrooper, and she was meaning the
Star
evil
Wars.
Empire.
Yes.
So it's all good. All good. Oh, man. He's a blob and a henchman.
Somebody called him. Somebody said they were complimenting him, but they said Barr looked like a big, calm gorilla just sort of like swatting flies off of him in the hearing.
Can you play that part about her calling him a blob and a henchman again? By the way, isn't it a henchman, not a henchman? Is that, I mean, how do you properly pronounce that word is my question. Do you know?
Henchmen.
Well, take a listen. Bill, play the Nancy Pelosi cut.
People acting like stormtroopers into the scene and evoking even more unease and unrest. He should be answering for what he did at Lafayette Square, a disgrace. So this, it's really, he was like a blob. He was like a henchman for the President of the United States instead of the Attorney General of the United States of America.
He was like a blob. A henchman. It's a henchman, right? Henchman.
It's her pronunciation. You know what I mean? So most people obviously would say henchman, but it's man. But
like Igor, that little bastard with really Frankenstein always defending him everywhere. Igor, that henchman.
But is she kind of fat shaming Barr? Like to call somebody a blob?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I don't think blob's a compliment. I mean, hey, that dress makes you look like a blob. I don't particularly think it's a flattering thing to say to somebody, do you?
No.
So, hey, how's this tux on me? Well, you look like a blob. Other than that, great. Let's go. He was like a big blob, like he just in his seats there, like a bowl of jelly. He shook a lot. She laughs like Emperor Palpatine a little bit, doesn't she? Speaking of the stormtroopers.
Very, very similar.
Yeah, there's a little bit of similarity right there, no doubt about it. Well, we'll talk to Congressman Guy Reschenthaler about it a little bit later, since it was just, I just think the whole thing was a farce. It's just so it's just so our politics in this day and age now, and where the times in which we live, it really is. And yes, a great point by Sid on Twitter. Shouldn't it be hench person?
Oh, this is true.
He's like a blob, like a hench person right there. Because you know, as a hench man, that's very, very, you know, terrible pronoun. You actually watched that whole thing yesterday, huh?
I did. I did.
Crazy?
Jim Jordan was like on fire. I don't know how much coffee he drank, but he was like, you know, he said more than anybody said because he just packed in so many words. But at one point, speaking of hench man, he asked about the, remember when Eric Holder said he was Obama's wingman? And they said, are you a wingman? And Barr said, no, I'm not a wingman.
So that's where she got henchman.
So maybe
from.
Maybe that evokes.
Maybe that was the impetus of that.
I don't know.
How the hell did you watch that all day? I couldn't tolerate it.
I know.
I had to get out of there. I just had to turn it off. It was just so silly. I mean, they was just talking over him and wouldn't let him answer a question. It was just downright rude. So instead, what I would do is I would go lay outside in the 110 degree sun and just bake. It was just much more enjoyable, to be honest with you. I really enjoyed that.
I know.
855-839-1210. If you watched that S show yesterday on Capitol Hill, weigh in. Let us know your thoughts on that. We'd be happy to hear it, certainly. I think those are all the cuts that I sent over regarding Barr. I will say, though, that you know when you think about these kind of moments in American political history, the one thing that Democrats are all thinking right now is that they could be president too. It's one thing that they're always occupying their mind. And a big reason for that is they're not so sure their guy's going to win. They say they think he is, but they have to say that. This is Joe Biden yesterday, who says he's going to wind up being the most progressive president in American history. Cut number one.
And lastly, I think that notwithstanding the fact I think I have laid out the most detailed plans on the economy and on issues relating to health care and the rest of any president in modern history. I mean, it's awful detail. If I'm elected and this passes, I'm going to be good to go down as one of the most progressive presidents in American history.
One of the most progressive presidents in American history. Now, I've told you before, moderate swing voters don't want him to be the most progressive president in American history. It's not what they're looking for. And Joe Biden at one point was never trying to be that. But again, this is what I mean about the idea that the left of his party, the left flank, which really now is the majority of the Democrat Party, they own him, they control him, and he's got to say what they want to hear. You know, there is a talk right now of a rebellion of the Bernie Sanders wing of the party at the convention coming up, with a virtual convention. I don't even know how they would pull this off, but a rebellion over Medicare for All. The Joe Biden does not embrace Medicare for All, and for that reason, the Bernie wing of the party may stand up and try to take him out. So you see how much power they still have. And that's why, if he winds up picking Elizabeth Warren, nobody would be surprised, because it's going to placate that entire wing of the party. It would be a stupid, stupid political move. But for Joe Biden, he's more worried about losing Bernie Sanders voters at this point. Think about that. Here we are. It's August. We're practically in August right now. And Joe Biden is still worried about the progressive part of the Democrat Party. What he should be doing right now is trying to win over the mainline people. He just assumes they're going to be with him. And I think that is a terrible, terrible assumption, because between schools not reopening and the idea of defunding the police, these suburban moms aren't going to tell their friends at the cocktail parties, the virtual cocktail parties, that they're voting for Trump. But I don't see them embracing the kind of progressivism that is the Democrat Party today. I think it's the opposite, actually, if you ask me. I think it's the exact opposite. I think they'll sit there in their virtual Chablis tastings and they'll go, oh, Trump's a monster. But they like the fact that he wants schools reopened. They like the fact that he's talking about giving money back to the parents for schools. And they don't like the fact that Democrats are playing games with the teachers' unions. And they don't like the fact that Democrats are talking about defunding the police. So they'll tell their friends in the Zoom that, yeah, we're totally against him. You know, they do that now, Dawn. Zoom wine tasting. Did you know that?
Yes.
In fact, I want to do one with our buddies, our wonderful wine partners. How's that going, Stalker?
It's going well, actually.
Going well?
It's going well.
All right, good.
Yeah.
What'll come
yeah.
first? A vaccine that's 90% effective or a virtual wine tasting?
Virtual wine tasting.
We actually just had a meeting about it on Monday, so.
Did you have a virtual meeting?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Now,
so
what's
worse? Yes, Dawn?
What's worse, Zoom drinking or drinking and tweeting?
Well, I think drunk tweeting is still one of the all-time great pastimes in America. Don't you?
No. I do not advocate for that, because you could get yourself in big trouble.
I still think about what Dennis Miller once said. He said about Trump, he goes, he doesn't drink, so at night when he's relaxing, lighting up some a-hole on Twitter is his cognac. I still think that's one of the funniest lines ever. No, drinking and tweeting don't mix. And friends don't let friends drunk tweet, by the way.
That's right.
You know, you can get in real trouble nowadays.
That was Roseanne Barr, right? We've seen a lot of people. Poof.
Me. But I like the idea, Greg, of sipping Chablis, like sipping wine, not Chablis. Sipping wine and doing a virtual wine tasting. I think that would be very, very civilized of us, don't you?
We're just trying to find ways to make money from it. So
that's got to make the money.
That's what the holdup is.
Got to get paid. You know what I mean?
They get the vig.
But the suburban moms, when they do their Chablis tastings on Zoom, and they're kicking back like a liter and a half of wine. You know what I mean? They're doing the big bottles, the magnums.
Yeah.
That's what they got.
100%.
The wine is flowing. And if they announce schools are not reopening, there's going to be a correlation. Mark my words, in between an increase in liquor sales and that announcement. You mark my words. I actually think big liquor is behind all this. Let's play it out, Dawn. You know, they control, the big liquor decides to infiltrate the teachers union to keep schools virtual for next year.
Yeah.
So that liquor sales, boom, skyrocket. It's going to be like post-prohibition numbers.
It is. No, absolutely. People, if they literally don't have school, and some of the districts in Montgomery County are saying no in-person school until January, people are going to lose their minds.
And their livers. And their livers.
And their livers.
I'm telling you, don't forget the liver. Don't discount that. That is your best friend, you know? 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. Marilyn's in Broomall. Marilyn, you watched it yesterday, huh? What are your thoughts?
Oh, I thought it was ridiculous. I couldn't believe how they overtalked and would not let Barr answer any questions. And from a perspective of, how are the public seeing this? You have people out there that don't know what's going on, that, for instance, they were talking about benefits, the one lady from Florida.
Yeah, the healthcare benefits, yeah.
Yeah, and trying to make it sound like nobody's going to have benefits come November, and all these people are going to be out, and all these people with pre-existing conditions. And Trump has said 100 times, I'm not going to touch pre-existing conditions. I mean,
look. There's no reason to fact check these people because nobody's watching this anyway with an open mind going, oh, really? These people are playing to an audience. That audience wants to hate this guy, so they're going to say whatever they want to say. It's futile to try to even check them on this point. It really is. It's a waste of your time and everybody else's time.
But I will tell you this, that Madeline Dean, I mean, if I was there, I would have hauled off and slapped her right off her chair. I'll tell you right now.
But well, I tweeted out yesterday, where's the decency? Isn't she the dean of decency? Isn't that her big thing? Where's the decency?
Well, let me tell you, you got to get the word out there because I'm very heavily involved with getting Trump elected with Women for Trump, the Adorable Deplorables, Mainline, Keep America Great. And I've met Kathy. She's been at my house. I've had Women for Trump breakfasts at my house. I had 50 women here a few weeks ago. And we just need to get Kathy out there because she is going to blow this woman away if we can get people to just hear Kathy talk. She is phenomenal.
Well, we'll get her on the show as we get closer to the election. We'll do that for sure. Marilyn, thanks for the call. And it was good seeing you in Wildwood, by the way. So thank you for the call. Keep up the good work. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay, 855-839-1210 is the number for you to weigh in on all things today if you want to weigh in on the show. I'll tell you, Mark Vetri, who is one of Philadelphia's most prominent restaurateurs, and I love his food. I've always loved his food. He wrote a piece for the Inquirer yesterday. We're paying huge costs for not reopening restaurants. And I just want to share a little bit with you because I think this is really important. And now that Philadelphia has announced that we're going to move back indoor dining till, you know, never. He writes, 3 times Philadelphia restaurants have prepared to reopen for indoor dining, 3 times in 2 months. Initially, it was June 26 when Governor Tom Wolf announced we were going to green phase. But Mayor Jim Kenney said not so fast. Pushed it until July 3rd. We were all ready to go. My team hired staff purchased new partitions, and reworked the dining rooms. We bought food, made new menus that were easier to execute, and practiced the flow of the dining room with all the new protocols. Then came another pump fake from the mayor. Let's wait until August 1st. Today was announced a ban on all indoor dining until September 1st earliest. This last false start was even more devastating than the original shutdown on March 16th. If you told me back then, we would still not have any idea when we were going to open restaurants in Philadelphia by August 1st, I would have said that was insanity. Vetri continues. Approaching the fall, instead of training staff and modifying the dining room for a safe new normal, we're still waiting, confused as ever, for any sign from our mayor that he will hold to a reopening date. Small businesses, already working on revenue fumes and borrowed resources to prepare to safely open, fear the mayor will once again play the Lucky from Peanuts role, pulling the ball at the last second. I'm sorry, Lucy from Peanuts, pulling the ball at the last second. And for what? No one seems to know. Even medical professionals I've spoken with who have been on the front lines through this entire pandemic are confused. Again, this is Mark Vetri writing this, one of Philadelphia's most respected restaurateurs. He writes, Aaron Sobolik, an emergency medicine doctor and acting co-director of Einstein's EDICU, informed me that at the height of the pandemic, they had over 180 patients with approximately 50 of those in the ICUs on a ventilator, but recently dropped to 14 admitted COVID patients with three on a ventilator. Multiple doctors I talked to at Jefferson shared that in April and May, they were at 100% capacity, but they're at below 10% today. They indicated to me that we can open the economy and restaurants with a safety-focused, common-sense approach. The city's data shows, despite some fluctuations in new infections and a recent uptick, hospitalizations have been declining. There's risk in everything we do. The mayor is basing reopening on taking zero risk at all, but that approach does not actually result in zero harm. We don't shut down highways because there's a high risk of traffic, accidents, and deaths. We use common sense. We create laws. We limit speed. We follow traffic lights, all to prevent incidents. We can open restaurants with the same safety-focused approach to balancing fear and logic. Restaurants have gotten some blame for surges. This claim does not square with reality, he writes. For example, officials in Spain, Australia, and Japan have attributed new surges to young people going to nightclubs and large gatherings, not dining out. There is a material difference between unmasked young people crowding beaches and clubs and locals choosing to dine inside a neighborhood establishment run by a responsible restaurateur who has installed plexiglass barriers, invested in air purifiers, set tables to 6 feet apart, and has mandated masks, temperature checks, and constant hand washing by staff. The maddening aspect for so many of my fellow restaurateurs is the reason-defying inconsistency across industries and society. You can sit on an airplane 6 inches from someone with recirculated air blowing in your face for 5 hours, yet there is no discussion of shutting down airlines, only of bailing them out. Meanwhile, the future of federal legislation to save independent restaurants is unclear. And it's unclear if it's finally gaining steam. Philadelphia recently opened up gyms, and the school district is still considering reopening in the fall. This is obviously, Vetri wrote this yesterday. Dining inside or out should similarly be a choice. Many people don't want to eat out. The Inquirer's own Craig Lebon just dedicated an entire article to explaining why he's not ready. But why not give those who do the choice with appropriate precautions? Instead of working with responsible business owners to reopen safely, the mayor seems to be promoting an us versus them mentality, us being government and them being restaurants. He doesn't realize that we are all in this together and we're all ready to be responsible together, but we need a coherent plan. We need actual leadership that listens to public health experts as well as economic experts to safely balance our city's broader well-being. As Dr. Sobolik told me, we all know COVID may kill, but increasing jobs lost, food insecurity, and other financial and emotional stressors also has a cost in lives. And he writes about, it's not just the employees, it's the supply chain. Neighborhood restaurants work with farmers, fishermen, electricians, plumbers. When our industry fails, so do theirs. We all rely on each other for survival. When are we going to bring everyone to the table and come up with solutions, he asks. He says, you know, I keep hearing from friends and customers and family. They say, hang in there, Mark. You'll get through this. The fact is that will likely not pass for independent restaurants. We are on the brink of collapse that there is no coming back from. And that's not hyperbole. Already, thousands of restaurants have closed for good. Michelin star chefs, mom and pop community cornerstones, leaving north of 8 million workers unemployed. Without opening of modified indoor dining in the coming weeks, independent restaurants, as we know them, could cease to exist. By the way, just think about that. Vetri's saying this, by the way. Greg, I've never had Vetri on. I know back in the day when you used to produce another show whose name will not be spoken on this program, but Vetri used to come on that show as a guest,
he
right?
He did. He did a lot, yes.
How would you describe his politics?
Oh, he's very liberal. Like he does not hide his disdain for Trump. But obviously in this, he's taking a very different tone, which is why I think it's an interesting op-ed he did. You know what I mean? Because this is coming from somebody who is not in favor of the president. So,
we should probably get him on, right?
Sure. Mm, yeah.
Yeah. How is he as a guest?
He's fine. He's fine. What are you trying to get
me
to say?
Make you uncomfortable. I'll say that's it. All. I'm just literally just for the purpose of just making you uncomfortable.
I'll
no
say
other
it.
Reason.
He's a really good guy. He also puts his money where his mouth is. He actually runs a foundation that actually is an out of school time program that is a Vetri cooking lab. So they cook in schools, teach kids how to eat healthy. You know, due to the obesity epidemic and stuff like that. And so they're in the city of Philadelphia. He does a lot. He donates a ton of money. So he's somebody who doesn't just talk the talk. He right. does have a stutter. And so he doesn't like to speak.
Taunt.
He doesn't, you know, he told me this before. You know, he doesn't necessarily like to speak publicly because he has a stuttering issue. But I don't think people care. He's a really good guy. You know,
no, he is. Have you
interview.
Ever eaten at Vetri?
Of course.
His signature Italian restaurant that's like, what, $2,000 to eat there?
Amazing. All of his stuff. But his pizza place, we've been to the pizza place.
Oh, so good. It's
we
so
went there
good.
As a show once. Remember that?
Yeah.
I love that place. That place
once
is great.
Once upon a time. That's what we'll be telling our grandchildren someday. You know, we used to go to these things called restaurants.
Yeah. We would get in the car and we'd drive to a place and they would feed us. They'd give us food.
Like Demolition Man, we used to have a thing called relations. It's like,
yeah. We would have, they'd bring us food on a plate. We'd eat it. And it was amazing times back then. Hard times, though. You had to wait sometimes 10 minutes for your appetizer. It was tough days. Vetri concludes by saying, this virus is not going away anytime soon. We simply cannot hide in our homes until it's gone. At some point, we have to figure out how to live with COVID in the most responsible way. Simple things like mask wearing, washing hands, and social distancing clearly work well, as many of us have been working in kitchens in a safe and healthy way. It is in our industry's interest to do this right, taking every conceivable precaution to ensure as safe an experience as possible for our diners and our workers. It's time our local leadership understood that. We have to mitigate risk, be responsible, and return to a new normal of economic life without overburdening our public health system. But we have to decide to do it, not simply keep pulling the ball or moving the goalposts for lack of resolve. Our industry, our city, and our communities are at stake. Well said by restaurateur Mark Vetri. Incredibly well said. And I think that it's a damn shame that he's got to even write something like this. And I know that the Pennsylvania Restaurant Association is working really hard on this. The New Jersey Restaurant Association, it's the same situation in New Jersey. This is people's dreams are being lost here over this. And these restaurants, they don't want to get people sick. They don't want to see people die. I've said this a million times. The goal of an eatery is to make sure you have a nice meal and you come back and eat there again. It's not to cut corners and kill you. They don't want to cut corners and kill you because they don't want to kill their customers. It's not good for business. They like customers to return. They don't want customers to get sick. They like that when you come back and eat there again. So it's in every incentive for them to make sure that you have a wonderful, healthy experience when you dine out. This is a damn shame that a guy like Vetri's got to write something like this. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210.
Thanks. for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
By the way, the Love Gov has offered to host every team, every Major League Baseball team in New York. Given the fact that the Phillies had to postpone their season on hold, cancel the Yankees' season, the Yankees' games that were coming up for the next few days. Given that, the Love Gov has decided he wants all the baseball teams to play in New York. Now, I have a question. Will the rivals to the Yankees be sent to a nursing home, Greg? Do you know the answer to that question?
That is not funny. Come on.
Cuomo. That's kind of funny. All right. Cut four.
Major League Baseball is struggling with the challenges of playing ball in the COVID crisis. I have offered suggestions to Major League Baseball over the past, getting spring training for the Yankees and Mets in New York. That was a big deal. Getting the Blue Jays to play in Buffalo, that's an exciting big deal. It's great for Buffalo, great for New York. Here's my suggestion. I understand the challenge they're facing. New York State could host any Major League Baseball game that any teams want to play, and they could play those games in our stadiums. I offer to Major League Baseball, if you're having problems playing in other states, come play here. So I offer that to Major League Baseball. The way we made it work for spring training camp, the way we made it work for the Blue Jays, we offer the same assistance here. I understand every team wants to play in its own city, in its own state. I get it. And that's great. But if that's not
I understand that the Dodgers want to play in Los Angeles. The Boston Red Sox want to play in Boston. Houston wants to play in Houston. Toronto wants to play in Toronto. Chicago wants to play in Chicago. So does Chicago. I understand the Nationals want to play in Washington. I understand the Twins want to play in Minnesota. I understand the Cardinals. Shut up. We got it. Why can't he just come out and say if the teams don't want to play in New York, they can play in New York? Why does he have to spend 11 minutes explaining how that would work?
So just so you know, this was a conference call he had with reporters. He does these on the days that he doesn't do his, you know, press conferences. So this cut that I originally had, he spends 4.5 minutes talking about Major League Baseball, and it's a 20 minute conference call. 4.5 of those minutes was spent saying what he could have said in 30 seconds.
Naming every team,
yes.
Where they play.
It was like when I pulled it, I was like, maybe I should pull this whole thing just to show how absurd it is. But then I was like, no, it's not good radio. So I cut it down to 90 seconds.
I understand Cleveland wants to play in Cleveland, but I don't know if they'll like New York.
He's like a salesman. He's selling New York. He's like, look at our lovely stadiums here. We have many accommodations that people can use.
If you act now, each team will get a kit, including New York Stinks hand sanitizer and my New York Hopes artwork, color by number. And we're also going to throw in for you a small Mario Cuomo bobblehead doll, which will be a beautiful thing for you to put on your dresser.
I didn't know they
and
made it.
For teams that have cheerleaders, what I'm going to do is I have a book of poetry.
No.
I like poetry.
I don't think there's cheerleaders in baseball, but okay. Okay, Governor.
Roses are red.
No, it's not.
Violets are blue. I'm the Love Gov, and I'm coming for you. I wrote that. You know who wrote that? I wrote that. That's my poetry, Dawn. I'm a very good poet.
Oh,
and you
man.
Don't even know it.
We'll give you lilac-scented New York Stinks. And for the whole team. So is he suggesting that the baseball teams are quarantined in New York? Is that the ultimate goal of this?
Yeah. How does that sound?
Right, yeah.
Like you can't
now, the
go
teams
anywhere.
I don't like, I'm going to send them to Buffalo to play one of those minor league fields up there no one cares about. But did he bring up Cooperstown in New York at all in his big, long, droning answer?
He did not. But it was like he was really selling New York to Major League Baseball, like, hey, you know, like look at our lovely stadiums, look at our lovely fields. Nobody's in the stands anyway. We can, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure there's some sort of financial incentive for him to do.
Oh, you think? Right? Well, it's funny, Greg, because when they asked him about if the players would have to pay New York State taxes, some of the highest income taxes in the nation, the answer was this: I'm going on a tunnel. I got a tunnel. No, hang on, I can't. That was the answer. Terrible reception.
Exclusive audio.
Exclusive audio. You have the Love Gov going under a tunnel. Would you pay New York taxes? Well, I'm not an accountant, but a chicken.
No, it's
look at the chicken. Everybody, turn your heads now, and then he just hangs up the phone. Very good point. Excellent point. 855-839-1210 is the number. Well, I would like to see baseball played. I'm getting a little nervous about this whole season, but. Fauci came out and said the season doesn't need to be canceled. So that's good that the Fauci said that. So that's good. Now, Dawn, what did you just tweet out about your boys?
So I'm like literally I'll be saying prayers today because the PIAA, which I've talked about before.
Can you explain what the PIAA is?
Okay, sorry. Okay. I mean, this
Pennsylvania is... Intergalactic Athletic Association.
Interscholastic, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're the Athletic Association, and they're a big one. So these organizations usually, you know, this is a highly respected one, so they tend to watch each other. Their board of directors is having a huge meeting today to talk about everything that's going on. It's a Zoom meeting at 3 o'clock this afternoon. But it looks like they, as I've been reporting, they plan to go forward with the fall season as scheduled. So they're looking at things like the NFL where they'll shorten the preseason. And then the other thing is, if you're on a team, no offense, but if you're on a team that's like horrible, and then even for the NFL, like why not just say, well, look, we're not going to win. We're taking a risk. So I think they'll do more to narrow down and get it started sooner and over with sooner before. So they're saying get things done before Thanksgiving because they're worried about the flu season combined with COVID, you know, as we move on into the colder weather. So I just think they're looking for strategies here, but it looks like they're going to, you know, they're going to play ball, which I'm thrilled about.
They're going to have a Zoom meeting today at 3 p.m.
Yeah.
To address the issue of playing sports.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
All indications are that they intend to go forward with the fall seasons as scheduled.
Yes.
Now, I would like to offer to these kids, come to New York and play here. Many of them have single moms.
No, it's, I mean,
well, speaking
and
of
I
which,
would love to buy them a nice meal of soup and salad. Soup. Remember, I don't believe chicken wings are real food because it's fattening, and I want to keep these moms nice and trim. Come to New York, drop off your bratty little kids, and then
give
the New York Stinks hand sanitizer, and then come back to Albany with me for a little bit of, COVID testing.
Oh, jeez. A little saliva exchange.
Well, we got to make sure that you're safe. I don't want you bringing your dirty, germy children. Oh, and by the way, women who are married happily or not, their kids can't play in New York. It's a thing. I don't know if you know. We just have a limit. Well, I hope it works out, Dawn. You know, obviously, I'm not going to make a prediction because it'll
Thank
come
you.
True. So,
stop. no, and here's the thing. The football yes. moms and football players in Philadelphia, they came out with their coaches and protested and said, look, we've had more kids die of shootings, football players. Some of them star football players. We've had
I would like
five.
To say to football moms, your kids are going to be safe here in New York. All right? I'm going to protect you. Dawn's lobbying the PIAA right now on the show. Like they're like this decision already isn't made. I love it. Like, you don't think they've already decided this, huh? You really need to go into this with an open mind today at 3 o'clock?
I think they've already decided they're going to do something.
All right.
That's I'm just saying.
All right.
That's all. Are we going to do?
They could play in New York. Just saying.
And we're all also watching these meetings today. Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia superintendent speaks at noon. He'll give us details, and that affects 203,000 school children across the region. So a lot of parents are saying, don't brush this with broad strokes. It looks like they're going to go virtual for those 200,000 kids.
Virtual. You know what? This is a good time to transition into your news. So let's do that. Let's
Daily Show News Live, sponsored by Wawa, and it's 81 degrees right now, but it's not going to be as humid, so that's good news. And we also have filled an update on that and that protest encampment, so-called. What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry. He's laughing at me.
I'm not serious.
Yes, sorry.
You know, all the tents, like 100 tents, if you're on top of the art museum steps and you're looking out. So all those tents and homeless folks and the organizers who are not homeless who go home at night.
Smells like New York stinks here.
We're going to get some nasty tweets. So don't say
I have
that.
My new air freshener, Hudson River, East River, at noon.
Be nice, baby, as Mama Zilli would say.
This scent is called Sunset over Utica, and it is amazing.
It sounds awful.
Stop. Imagine don't Sunset over Utica. Let's take it, let's take everybody by storm.
I can't. I just can't.
Buffalo steel, like an abandoned steel mill smell. Like the... I really like this one a lot.
Scent of my tent.
I can't get the image of Cuomo being like a infomercial salesman out of my head. It's just, it's making me giggle the entire show.
Because he is, right?
Yeah,
he's
always selling something.
In any event, they're going to have a meeting tomorrow with the homeless tent people. Kanye West files petition to appear on ballots in New Jersey.
Good.
And Missouri. So
nice.
Going viral, Kanye calling his mother-in-law Kris Jenner. He calls her Kris Jong-un.
Wow.
Which got a lot of, got a lot
See,
of
that's why
there.
The America's mother-in-law moniker works
yes.
so well for Elizabeth Warren, because everybody has a mother-in-law.
A mother-in-law, that's right.
That's right.
He's got a wing-dinger there. So no word from his other mother-in-law, Caitlyn Jenner. Obviously, Caitlyn's quiet on this one. We do have this crackdown in Philadelphia restaurants, and I put that in there just because you talked about the Vetri thing. So they say, look, we are cracking down. They've shut down 7 restaurants, issued 19 fines with threats of shutdowns. And this is for places that if you're outdoor dining, you don't have a city license, they're going to shut you down. So no outdoor dining without the city license.
Why do you need a license?
They
just let them serve people and, oh, my God.
Got to have a license.
The government makes life difficult for everybody.
Yeah. They gave out
Reagan was right when he said,
warnings.
I'm from the government and I'm here to help. The scariest words in the English language. He was right about that.
And I'll get to this grandmother.
Where is your permit? I don't see your permit.
That's it.
But if you call now, I'll give 2 outdoor dining permits for free with every purchase of 1,000 barrels of New York bourbon.
So,
that I make myself now. We distill the sanitizer, the prison slave labor, and then I have them make bourbon too. It's got a oaky, very oaky.
Okay. We've got Carol Scarsella. She's a grandmother whose obituary has gone, speaking of Buffalo, has gone viral. So her granddaughter wrote this thing that she enjoyed reading Stephen King books, smoking millions of cigarettes, playing Farmville and Candy Crush. Longtime sports fan, hated, in all caps, Tom Brady.
Boom.
So everybody was saying about Mrs. Scarsella, good for you. And the granddaughter saying, thank you for, you know, honoring my grandma, who endlessly just hated Tom Brady. It's just sort of a funny little thing.
I love this woman.
NBC 10 First Alert forecast real quick here. It's less humid. That's good. So actually 90, 92 today, 94 tomorrow. We drop down to the mid-80s then for the weekend, but with some spotty showers and clouds moving in. But at least we go down to the mid-80s. Let's talk about Wawa. Your morning routine just got better. $1 coffee, it's back. They're introducing their limited edition blueberry cobbler coffee. Stop in or order ahead with the Wawa mobile app. Wawa has you covered. Enjoy any size Wawa coffee for just $1. I'm Dawn, Zilli Show News Live.
The Houston Astros could play. The Los Angeles Dodgers could play.
How would that work?
I thought you
the
said
Cleveland Indians could
out.
Play.
How would that work? I don't understand how this is going to work.
But because I'm a Met fan, the Phillies will be staying at a nursing home in Nyack, New York. Things work out very well there. You enter, but you do not leave.
No, that's Hotel California, I think.
Oh my God. Sorry, You know, the love guy, he's listening to the Eagles all day. What can I tell you? You know, what are you going to do? Coming up, Congressman Guy Reschenthaler was at the Judiciary Committee hearing yesterday, that show, that disgrace on television with Attorney General Bill Barr. We'll talk to him about it. And, of course, keeping an eye on Philadelphia and New Jersey schools as well. What did the NJEA say regarding schools in New Jersey? I'll tell you about that. They're planning a meeting with Governor Phil Murphy, His Royal Highness, next week. And I got a feeling, and I don't want to be right about this, but since I was right about Philadelphia schools going all virtual, I got a feeling New Jersey schools are about to make the same announcement. I really, truly, truly hope I'm wrong. Let's talk about it straight ahead.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.